Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Everyone, welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. This is the first episode of 2021 with a guest, and I am excited that that guest is Casey Johnston. She is the editorial director of the Life Desk at Vice, and you might know her on Instagram as Swole Woman. She writes Ask a Swole Woman. Casey is a lifter. Would you call yourself a lifter?
It's the terminology around it is so weird. I mean, this activity has a marketing problem in general, I feel like. Weightlifter is usually what people go with, or like kind of what makes the most sense to people, even though it's like technically a more specific thing.
Mm-hmm. She's a lifter. And like, if you put Casey and I standing next to each other and you're like, one of these people is a lifter, it's Casey. It's not me. Casey and I have...
I don't think that's true. I don't even look like a lifter.
No, I'm just saying I am not a lifter. Like, there's like... No, you wouldn't know... Well, we'll get into the like the stereotypes of what being a woman lifter.
Right. That's what this is. But yeah, for sure.
I will preface this by saying Casey and I have known each other for a very long time, like almost 7 years now. We met because we were, can I say this?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. It's really not bad. It's just like, what, you know, who's listening? Because when we first, I started dating Dan and Casey started dating one of Dan's friends around the same time. And we were both introduced to the friend group during at like an 18 person brunch where no one talked to us.
Yes, everyone ignored us.
Everyone ignored us.
Except for like you like started talking. I was very like awkward. I think you were just like, so.
Well, you have to find your ally. I was like, oh, okay, so yes. You haven't met these people either. And you would have thought that we were ghosts, Marley and Marley, at the table. No one talked to us.
A nice seasonal reference.
But yeah, then Casey and I sort of forged this friendship that was based on the fact that we were both being totally snubbed.
Shafted.
at this brunch. And it ended up being a nice blessing. We've been friends for so long. And Casey has been trying to get me to drink water for such a long, like probably as long as I've known her. But
I try to stay on top of you about the water, but I also know it's a lost cause. So if it comes up organically, I'll try and like latch on to the coattails of that point. Yeah. But I don't come out of nowhere. There you go. She's drinking water now from her Yeti.
Yeah. That'll probably be like my one. I am trying to drink a little bit more in 2021. That's always my goal. But the thing is, if I make it to the end of the year, I was hydrated enough. You know?
Yes.
I didn't.
Yes. That's sort of true.
We're going to try to get to like clear pee by March. That's a nice goal.
There you go.
I've wanted to have you on the show for a long time, but I also felt like the timing, I wanted the timing to be totally perfect. And I feel like January is an excellent time to have somebody on the podcast who's kind of work is about fitness and in tangentially food and activity and sort of also I think a thing you do a lot is you debunk, you know, the diet culture. But then in your own way, you kind of are part of the diet culture. Like, there, you know, the
Oh, my God. Did you bring me on here to roast?
No, maybe. We'll see. No, but I mean, everything, it's a spectrum, right? Like, because everything is so steeped in diet culture that even the idea sometimes, and I know this is true for me, the idea of having to, like, even if you find movement that you like, it's hard sometimes to mentally be like, no, I'm enjoying this. This isn't punishment. Or like, just because you're feeling energized after eating, I don't know, like a chicken salad versus a bag of tater tots. It like sometimes for me, it makes the jump of like, well, now I only eat lettuce. now I'm a lettuce eater and I only work out. Like, it's hard sometimes to decouple yourself from like, oh, well, I enjoyed working out. So either I'm doing something wrong because everyone says that like this is diet culture, or it's as a, you know, a former disordered eater, sometimes even a current disordered eater, it's hard not to fall into the whole thing that's like, well, I worked out for a half hour today. Maybe I should do 7 hours tomorrow, you know? And I think that, like, I've done a good job in the last few years of cultivating the people I follow on social media so that I am not on January 1st inundated with thinspo, fitspo, like counting, yada, yada, yada. And I actually am sort of, I think part of this is the pandemic, but part of it is because of that following. I really didn't see a lot of it in the last couple of days. And we're recording this on January 4th.
I mean, I think a lot of people in general got shamed out of their sort of like quotidian concerns. And that includes fitness influencers who are like people were just like, how dare you tell me to like think about how much I weigh when I'm trying to not die.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So It's been quite a year for that. I think the tide is turning a little bit just because people are kind of sick of thinking about coronavirus now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they, you know, like, I think there's a lot of people who are getting lax about the safety protocols, which is bad. But I think even those of us who are lucky to be safe at home are kind of like, okay, we need something to do. Like, we've kind of figured out the coronavirus thing. It's like, okay, we just have to stay at home. We get it. And now we just want to think about something else. So I think it's like making a little bit of a resurgence now.
That's so interesting. Cause I feel like it's such a weird flip, and I'm not calling you out at all. Cause I would say the same thing, like to be like, oh, we've got the coronavirus thing figured out. But in terms of the mentality between, you know, March of 2020 and now, you know, there was so much like, yeah, it was all consuming. It's still all consuming to me, but I'm no longer afraid to walk outside the door of my home and like get the mail. Like, I'm no longer like breaching my mail.
There was a time when it was like, is this like going outside like contagion? Is it just like from the air we're gonna get? Like, there was a time when we didn't know this and it's easy to forget about it. And we were like, is going to the grocery store, does that mean I'm gonna have to like wipe down every single thing that I get? That's too much of a chore. I'll just stick with my like instant ramen. And now we've like reached more of an equilibrium where it's at least like we sort of know the contours of it, and people are either following it or they're not.
Yeah, there's no excuse in January 2021 to be like, I didn't know that I shouldn't be in the room with 10 people. Like, I mean, like, it's like, we all know what's up. You're either following the rules
indoors
or you're not.
A mask.
Exactly. Yeah, no, for sure. And I remember like one of the things that I did in the beginning of all of this in March was I hosted my own Nancy Meyers movie house tour in Los Angeles, and I drove around and I was like, there's that house from that movie. And I remember posting it on Twitter, and people
were pissed,
mad at me, and they were like, are you like, okay, you're going, like, what do you think stay at home means? As if me driving in my car. Also, I'm pretty sure these are the same people who were like, it's totally fine, the hotel I'm staying at in the Bahamas is like really safe. Like, these were the people who were like, oh my God, Caroline, stop driving around.
Right.
Yeah. Like, driving has always been fine. I never got out of my car.
The, there's so much, there's a lot of nuance in the rules that, like, I understand. There's some people who are, like, who want to negotiate about, like, whether you can get away with wearing a mask outside, walking around on the sidewalk mm-hmm. versus, like, being inside in a grocery store. And it's, like, that there probably is some ambiguity there, or, like, a sort of fine line, you know, like, a way you can thread the needle on that. But the reason that the way the rules are the way they are is because most people, like, don't want to or can't deal with all of the we don't want it to be like a Hammurabi's code of, like, yes, this, but not that.
Right.
But then people have also taken it as such a hard line where it's like, absolutely, literally do not leave your house. Absolutely, literally do not, like, go outside. That's the same thing. But, like,
I would rather.
I think there's there has been, like, an overinterpretation, and then people are getting, like, reactionary, and it's just like, can we, no, very few people can be normal about this, I feel like.
Well, I mean, yeah, but also, like, let's just call it what it is, which is, like, this is the government's fault. I mean, if you Google right now
yes,
on January
totally.
4th, and I know that, like, we're in a group chat where we just send each other coronavirus news, and right now, if you Google, you know, is there a stay-at-home order in California? The literal language is like, yes, there's a stay-at-home order in California, except for local shopping, errands, going to the grocery. It's like when Martha Stewart was on house
nail
arrest.
Salons.
Yeah, nail salons are.
Yes.
You know, Martha Stewart was on house arrest, but she was allowed to leave her house 40 hours a week. That's like a typical sort of by the book work
yes.
week. That's how much I list my house in general, 40 hours a week.
Do you know that that's also the deal that Allison Mack had from Nexium?
That does sound familiar.
Like, she was allowed to, like, I mean, theoretically, I think this happened sort of, like, within the pandemic, maybe, mm-hmm. but she was like, I need to go to school and, like, church. And they were like, okay, well, you can like, leave the house. Those are fine exceptions
look,
to your
house
arrest rule. Yeah,
like, you're on house arrest, but look, if you want to leave the house, who are we to stop you? I mean, that's really what this is. Also, the government should have taken a note. I follow so many people in New Zealand and in Australia now because they have the whole COVID thing, like, down pat. Like, you know, it is so incredible to see, like, people were partying on New Year's Eve without masks, and it's like my inclination to be like, what the fuck, like, who are these people, what are they doing? But you know what, they live in a country where their government paid them to stay home, and they actually contained the virus, so they're allowed to party.
Right, they, like, eliminated it.
It's like the, like, marshmallow, remember the marshmallow thing when we were little, and it's like, you can have a marshmallow now or you can have, like, three later.
Yes, absolutely.
That is this.
Americans are just grabbing, not even thinking twice, just grabbing
just
the marshmallow,
choking
right
on our
off
marshmallows.
The table.
But yeah, so back to the point. Yeah, we want other things to think about. And I will say also, like, I'm taking a little inventory of the way that I lived in 2020, and I am fully giving myself the grace to say, like, I was in survival mode. My mental health was waning. I was in a new city. Like, my therapist in New York and I had. We had been together for like 4.5 years, and, like, you know, she technically can't be my therapist in California because she's not licensed to treat.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
it's
like
a thing. I mean,
thing.
I think she's a little bit more by the book than most, which I appreciate about her. But, you know, we did a few sort of, like, transitional sessions. Like, she agreed, like, okay, like, we'll do some virtual sessions. But that was like a year ago, and I kind of just let myself be as comfortable as I could be. But, like, I woke up on January 1st being, like, kind of trying to, like, marry the two things that I know to be true, which is, like, we are living this right now. Like, I know what I have to do. I stay home as much as possible. When I have to go out in public, I wear a mask. Like, I take my meds. I, you know, try to get my screen time down from, you know, 11 hours to like 10 hours. And I'm just like, I'm doing what I can. I woke up in January feeling like maybe I want to get into a routine where I do sort of some sort of movement, or I, like, don't, you know, put a huge party size bag of Ruffles in my grocery order. Like, a lot of this stuff I was turning to for comfort. Which is kind of a challenge for me, because it's like, part of the reason why I just sometimes I feel like I indulge in those behaviors is like to give the finger to diet culture and be like, you can't tell me that I can't eat a party size bag of Ruffles to myself and watch Law and Order on the couch all day. And you're right. No one can tell me. I don't feel amazing after it. So, but I'm like, okay, well, am I punishing myself or am I making myself feel better? And that is like, that's the minefield.
Totally.
And so my only intention that I set for January in terms of like working out or weight or whatever is just that every morning I am going to get dressed like in actual clothes.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to move when I feel like it, because because I know myself. And if I if I do like a whole thing, I'm going to either totally do nothing and be like, I'm a failure, or I'm going to get back into the cycle of disordered everything. So like today,
I
put on jeans. I just want, please clap. I just want,
that's incredible.
Thank you so
much. Like, I'm virtually clapping for you. I put on jeans over the weekend and they were like a pair of jeans that I really do like. I go between the full range of them, like fitting snug and them being like pretty baggy on me. They're like a men's pair of jeans that I had that I got from like a thrift store. So they're not like small jeans. But I put them on this weekend and they were not like uncomfortably,
but they didn't fit the way you remember.
I'm at the top of the range.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's fine. Like
it's fine. It's totally fine. But it felt like, I think normally this does kind of like guide my behavior in a way that's, I think it's like a healthier version of maybe an ultimately unhealthy thing. But like it does give me information that doesn't come from a scale, which is positive, about like what my body is doing. Like, am I bloated? Like, do I have my period or like whatever? Sometimes it's like feedback for that. But I'm like, I don't want to, I think all that feeling of like bad feelings about that came rushing back because I haven't put on jeans really in like almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
You know?
And it is like jeans to see, this is where I come. This is where it like becomes this thing of like, is what I'm doing good or is what I'm doing deeply unhealthy? And I don't know. And I wrote about this, I think for Glamour after I got married, but like I gained like almost, I think about 20 pounds in the time between getting engaged and getting married. And like, that was really difficult for me because, you know, you get fitted for your wedding dress long before you have to wear it. And like, it didn't fit the way that I had wanted it to fit, but you kind of just have to power through and be like, well, I mean, I only have this one dress, like this is it, like I gotta just go. But part of my mentality was like, in the rage against all of these targeted ads being like wedding workouts, sweating for the wedding, like lose weight, like accentuate your butt, I was like, I'm gonna go in the opposite direction and say like a big F you and eat like 7 cheeseburgers because I can. And like what that ended up resulting in, it's like I wasn't, my mentality was never coming from a place of like, you know what I could really eat right now? Like a McDonald's cheeseburger. I am in the mood for a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's like, you want me to lose weight so bad? You know what? I'll show you. And I'm going to like binge eat 20 donuts and then you'll see. And I think what that resulted, and I never weighed myself in the lead up to my wedding, and I never did a diet, and I never did a workout, but then on the other end of the spectrum, I did end up gaining weight. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but also it's like I have really had a hard time, have had and continue to have a hard time being like, when am I doing something because it's what I want to be doing and what feels right to me versus when am I letting someone tell me that this is what I need to be doing to be worthy accepted, right, lovable, etc.
Right. This is a huge, an extremely naughty, thorny, like, issue. I mean, I think that's probably, like, exactly what a therapist would ask you to think about is, like, who are you trying to, like, hurt and or help with,
right,
doing this? And is it effective? Or is it, are you hurting yourself in a way that's not ultimately, like, you're trying to help yourself.
Go ahead. I'm just, like, enthusiastically, like, yes.
Yeah, like, you're trying to hurt other people, but in the process you're hurting yourself. And I think the way you put it just now is like very succinctly true. That now I'm forgetting your exact words. I have no short-term memory.
Well, I did
anymore.
I mean, yeah, like I did something to spite, I cut off my nose to spite my face, thinking, right, that I was cutting off my nose to spite diet culture. Like, at the end, right, of the day, my wedding dress didn't fit. I mean, it fit, but it didn't fit exactly the way I wanted it to. But I, mm-hmm, but, like, I just couldn't bring myself to.
I think the thing is that it should be sort of neither here nor there. Like, you should, like, if you want to, like, I think this is, like, I'm not inventing this logic, but, like, nutritional, like, a dietitian would say, like, you should, if you want chips, you should be able to have chips,
right,
and not have it either be about, like, I need to like binge for myself, or I need to binge to, like, get back at diet culture, like,
right,
chips should not have a higher purpose or place in your life than just being food,
right?
But it's hard. I mean, that's, like, the precise struggle that many people have. Mm-hmm. Have you ever talked to your therapist specifically about this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talk about, like, food stuff all the time, and we talk about, mm-hmm, you know, just the way, like, I don't blame my parents at all. I think that, like, anyone who grew up in the 90s as either, like, a tween or a teen, you know, was faced with the 90s were all about low sugar, low sodium, sugar free, fat free, blah, 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 blah. Like, all of these chemical kind of, like, mm-hmm, processed foods that were supposed to be healthier. Like, hello, I have a, yes, massive addiction to Diet Pepsi, and we all know that I wasn't born with it. But I think, like, growing up, like, you know, my therapist is very encouraging about, like, a lot of this stuff is, like, and I say this because we have the puppy coming soon, but a lot of this stuff is, like, you learn how to think about food really early on, and how to think about bad foods versus good foods, and foods you deserve after eating other kinds of foods, and when you get a food versus when you're not allowed to have a food. And all of that stuff is, like, from the time you're, like, little. I mean, like, that, mm-hmm, and that's, like, that's really hard to unlearn. And I think a thing that has helped me, and that I will put in the show notes because I love these accounts, is that I follow a lot of food accounts that are aimed towards parents of young children who, like,
oh, interesting.
Oh, my God. It's amazing because you can't take a 33. I mean, old dog, new tricks kind of thing. Like, I can't rewire my brain, but being able to think of it differently has been really helpful. So, like, there are all these, and I literally, they're the only two accounts that I have notifications. So when they post, I get, like,
oh, that's great.
I love it. But it's been so helpful because it's such an interesting way that,
I know I might get sirens here.
Oh, that's okay. It's,
sorry.
It's fun background. It's such an interesting way to, it can apply to adults too. So there's this whole thing that's, like, you know, a lot of these kind of food nutritionists of the 2020s believe serve dessert with dinner. And, like,
next to it, or, like,
yeah,
after.
It's like you got your pasta, you got your chicken, you got your vegetable, and here's your cupcake.
I mean, that is how they give it to you, like, on an airplane, and it's kind of delightful.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
You know?
And a lot
just
of them
give me a little guy.
Yeah, you get your little brownie, and then you get your little pasta. But a lot of them are, like, you know, the whole thing with kids is, like, you determine what the menu is and they decide how much of it they want to eat. And that's it. So you're not like a short order cook who's like, oh, my kid like wants to eat this. You say like,
right. Oh, my God, I can't. Yeah. Like, don't. It seems like don't, like, I don't have kids, but it's like, don't ask your kid what they want.
No.
That's just like, that seems like a,
don't ask
a
anyone what they want. That's a, yeah, they always say give kids choices. It's like, you can have this or this, and then they feel empowered, but they're not like, okay, well, I want grilled cheese. And
this is so interesting. I had never like really thought about whether someone was like sort of tackling the specific issue, but that's such a good topic for content in general, like how to like shape your child's relationship with food. Because like our parents, I don't think ever thought about this ever. Like, did you know that food pyramid came out in like 1990? Like mm-hmm. in our lifetimes, there was no food. There were no like nutritional guidelines, I think.
No.
There was just like food.
And
not that the pyramid was good, but it was like no one thought about this stuff.
Someone just like made that up born. Too.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes, totally. And it was like completely governed by lobbyists, and it still is. Like, to have milk and cheese, like I love milk and cheese, but to have milk and cheese as part of like your essential four food groups is completely a lobbying thing.
Right. And it's also like, yeah, well, okay. So I'm going to read you. Okay. So one of the accounts I follow is the family.snack.nutritionist.
Oh, great.
And I really love it, because it's like, I don't have kids either. But I really learn a lot about how to present food to myself.
Totally.
Cause I mean, you know what a bad food is and you know what a good food is, but that's not because the foods are bad or good. It's because someone taught you that.
Yes, exactly. Society, your mom.
Mom. But
many parties,
but also they didn't know any better, because that was what they were like learning.
Right. I mean, they had, if you look back on like, there's that famous Helen Gurley Brown Sex and the Single Girl diet, where she's like, you know, when I want to lose like 10 pounds, she drinks like a bottle of wine a day, has like one small steak for dinner.
Right.
Maybe like an egg for breakfast. Like, it's a total, there was a really good, I think it was in The Cut, a really good piece where someone followed this diet. And I think they only did it for 3 days, but having three bottles of wine in 3 days, they were like, I feel like death.
Yeah. I'm extremely drunk. Like,
yes.
Here's a good example of the post. So the post is in quotes, "No, mama, I don't want that." And the picture is of two, it's the same exact meal. So it's basically like, okay, say your kid ate this yesterday and now today he's like raging against it. So it says in the don't column, it's like, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't say, but you liked it yesterday. Don't say, let's go. You need to eat it. They still won't eat it. They'll keep screaming. They'll associate mealtime with something that's stressful and unpleasant. So instead, you give them the food and you say, you can eat it if you'd like. And then they kind of get, then the child becomes empowered. That's like, if I am hungry, here is the thing that I am able to eat.
I'm curious if there is there advice for what if they instead demand another food? Or they don't eat it, and then they're like, they're hungry.
Yeah, that's like half, like that's what all this is. Yeah, I would just suggest like following all these.
I want to.
It's great. There's also like, there were some really great questions about like a lot of it is also like, don't, you know, your child's body is not your body. Like, your eating habits do not determine those of your child. Like, you eating something and feeling full doesn't mean your child can eat something and feel full. And I think a lot of it is like, from a very early age, and I think this was something that I definitely struggled with, when you're not in control, like when someone else is preparing all of your food, you don't get to like have a difference of opinion. Like, mm-hmm. I remember sometimes, and this isn't a knock against my parents at all, but like, you just, I mean, I'm sure everyone had this experience. Like, you eat your dinner and like some nights you're like, yeah, like that was it. I'm good with my, but some nights after dinner, you're like, I'm still hungry. And then someone's like, you already ate. Like, no, you're not hungry.
Right.
You ate your dinner. And I, And I think that there's a lot. Go ahead.
It just blows to not be in control. Like, I'm like, sometimes I do think about just like how nice it is to be an adult. Is that weird? Where it's like, you can eat anything you want at any time. And like when I was a kid, like we would have family dinner like every night. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it would be like loved like steak and potatoes or like hot dogs or like chicken and macaroni and cheese. Hated pot roast so much. Mm-hmm. But like most of my family liked it. So when it was like pot roast night, I was just like shit out of luck. I don't think my parents did like the, they know, like I didn't have any room to negotiate. I think I just had to like eat what I could and like go to bed, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. My parents listen to this podcast. So you can't get too into it. But I think I remember a lot of child, like both my parents are very, I think, like, you know, by the society definition of healthy, like really healthy eaters. And I think like, you know, just by nature and by the things that they would buy at the grocery store and you know, not having your own money, not really being able to go make your own food choices elsewhere, I really like sought out junk food anywhere I could get it because I knew we weren't going to have it at home. So, you know, you go to your friend's house who has the like bowl of M&Ms, you know, like the friends who have like mm-hmm. the bowl of M&Ms.
I mean, I know a number of people who are this way now where we like, and I think I would count myself in this as well, where I don't think I was like deprived, but we just had pretty strict parents about stuff like this.
Yeah.
And now we're just like acting out in like this, it, like yeah. we can have, you know,
chips for dinner,
candy anytime we want, chips anytime, because we never, because we didn't get like, okay, here's how to have like a healthy relationship right. with chips. Here's how to have like a normal amount of chips.
And
there was only like no chips.
Yes. And that, and
or,
then
like, and, no fruit roll-ups.
And there was also that fear that was like, but if I buy chips, my kid's only going to eat chips. Mm-hmm. And if, mm-hmm. you know, if I put the cupcake on the plate with dinner, they're only going to eat the cupcake. But that's also, that's right. because of what you've taught us about chips and the cupcake. Like, if,
right.
and I know friends who had, you know, junk food in their pantries all the time. And I swear those were the friends who never really ate the junk food because it was always there. Mm-hmm. It was always available. Like the second you say like, hey, I'm buying candy for like X and X occasion. Do not even think about for 1 second trying to eat any of that candy. All I am, I'm like, oh my right. God, are they asleep? Can I eat the candy? Should I eat the candy? Will they count the candy? Like, are they going to know that the candy is gone? And I think that that's the thing is like, you know, think about on like a totally different end of the spectrum, but it's the same kind of behavior. Think about kids who like, you know, who aren't taught about like sex ed and who aren't given mm-hmm. any sort of like guidelines around drugs and alcohol and who don't feel like safe to experiment. Like a lot of these kids are the ones who like just go nuts. And I mean, that was me.
Yes.
That was me in food.
Like they don't like develop addictive personalities, but like you can just like draw a line from like the fact that they weren't allowed to do shit when they were kids.
Restrict. Yeah. Once you restrict, and now they're just like, you're binging.
They're out of their minds. Like maybe they're functioning adults, but like
they're out of their minds.
They really struggle with this, like this aspect of, and like,
right.
I don't,
and that's me and chips.
I don't want to steal food valor. I feel like I have a generally decent relationship with snacks. And I did really go through like a period when I did it to myself where I tried to like unlearn snacking behaviors and then I almost like needed more snacking behaviors when I was lifting
mm-hmm.
and it was hard to like get back into that habit. But I have it for other stuff, like more non-food things where I feel like I can't have it or I like have too much of it. And it's just like, but what did my parents like do? Like, did they know what they did? And I don't think
it was the 90s.
Like, no one knew anything. No one knew anything about like how people
no work, remember so, everyone's obsession like. With 1200 calories in the 90s. 1200
yes.
calories in the 90s. And also for every inch you are, I remember this one, for every inch you are over 5 feet, 5 pounds. So if you're
yes.
so if you're 5'8", you're supposed to be 100.
Oh my god
pounds.
I read that in a biology book and it like
that was just something like Dr. Phil made
for
up
like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So like that's, you know, I mean the long-winded way of saying that like my big struggle always in the new year but always kind of all year round, all life long, is like sometimes I really like eating I love salad, but sometimes when I eat salad, it's hard to turn off the thing in my brain that's like, you're only eating salad because they're telling you you have to eat salad. Like, you should be eating a cheeseburger. And that's what happens. But
Caroline, how do you live with all these people in your head?
They take up a lot of space. Mm-hmm. They share bunk beds and they're on the meal plan, and we eat a lot of chips. Well, truly. We eat a lot of chips together. So lifting, though, I feel like I haven't begun my lifting journey. But I do enjoy lifting. Like, I have small weights. I do love doing like an arm workout. But you're a power lifter.
Yeah, you were going to like a gym and like with a trainer for a while who had like weights, and you were like doing weights for a while, I remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, that was the fun part too, is I remember telling you this, and I still like lift from time to time. That was like that was right after I got engaged, because I was like, oh my God, I gotta lift. But then it turned into like cheeseburgers. But like, that's the thing, is like, I'm so extreme. Like, I can't just like do a thing and like have it be fun. It has to be like a life thing. But I remember. Yeah, do you remember when I started lifting a little bit, and then like one time I had to carry my very heavy suitcase up like four flights of stairs, and it like felt like nothing, and I was like, oh my God, it's working, like I'm actually stronger.
I don't remember that specific incident, but that's amazing. That's the thing that I'm always after when I'm like talking to people about lifting. I'm like, I swear to God, you'll like, because it's like people get in those moments where you're like moving a couch, or like you got, I don't know, a new desk shipped to your house, or some incident like that. And you're like, you can't do it. And you're like, oh my God, I got to get to the gym more. Like, I can't go through life being this weak. Mm-hmm. It's like, those are the moments when if you lift, you're going to fly through them and be like, wow, I just rule. Like, I'm so happy. And it's not like, they're not even every day. And you could argue, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth going to the gym a few times a week in order to be able to do that. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't
a few times a year. You might not think it's that much, but I think it's more than people realize.
Yeah. Well, I mean, depending on what happens in your life and like how often.
Right.
But you can even the smallest things, like picking up like a 40-pound bag of litter, like might have like thrown your back at one point. And then you're like, oh, this isn't that bad. Like, that is truly what I felt picking up that suitcase that time, being like, here's a tangible way that I know that I'm getting stronger.
Totally.
And I don't know. There's also something about lifting that I liked, because it's like at your own pace. Like, it's hard, but like so much of like the workout scene is like fast cardio and like just dying. Yeah. And I feel like,
terrible.
I love cardio. Like, when I like doing cardio, I like doing cardio. But like, I don't know. Weights are just like, pick the thing up, put the thing down, and then.
Yeah. And you rest in between. This was magical to me when I learned this, that there was a version of exercise that I could do that it wasn't like, okay, you're going to do like 40 burpees and then rest 5 seconds, and then you're going to do 60 sit-ups and then rest 5 seconds, and then you're going to do like 80 chair dips and rest 5 seconds. And I was like, I've reached an equilibrium point with running. Like, I'll go running and have zero problem with it, even though I hated it when I was younger. But like, intensity intervals are like, I'm like, why would anyone do this to themselves? I can't stand it.
Well, also, that to me feels like that's like, you know, Orange Theory, like, not a knock against any of this stuff. Like, look, like I got the SoulCycle bike. Like, I like spinning. Like, that has become my workout. It's fine. Not a knock to any of these workouts, but like we were talking about trends in food, like all of a sudden things come out of nowhere and they're like, actually the key to working out is like for 10 minutes, you just like sweat really hard and you get your heart in like the 190 zone. And then for 5 minutes, you calm it down. And you're like, well, where was this 20 years ago? Like, who made this up? Like, at the bottom of it, it's like, okay, yeah, moving is better than not moving, literally in any regard. Like, moving is better than not moving. But I'm always really wary of the workouts that, like, all of a sudden it's like, we found the key and it's this. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You're just trying to sell me something.
I mean, you should be. It's like the threat. I say this a lot in my column, I think, that, like, the threshold for just sort of, like, exercise and moving your body is super low. And, like, lifting weights is, like, above that. Mm-hmm. But I think that it can be really, I hate to say transformative, but like just in the way that you feel in your body, especially, I think this is a little bit of like a pet theory of mine, like piecing together things, but it's like, if you've dieted a lot in your life, you've probably, especially like crash dieting,
mm-hmm.
you've probably lost a lot of muscle in that sort of like yo-yoing back and forth, where like there's studies that, you know, if you're aggressively dieting, half of the weight you lose, up to half, I think, can be muscle. And then if you rebound, which like something like 97% of dieters do, they go back up to the weight they were before. Unless you are doing strength training, you probably gain back body fat. So like chronic dieting is kind of a long-term way of exchanging muscle for body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think particularly people who have been stuck in this kind of like feedback loop can really benefit from building muscle.
Well, that's
another reason I'm kind of like into it. Yeah. It's totally fun.
It's fun. I
love the pace. Yes. You get better. Like, I think a big block that I had with strength training prior to getting into it was that I didn't really know what to, like, it's like, do you go and like kind of do the same thing?
Yeah, like,
until
what's
it
the
gets
measurement?
Maybe too
right.
easy, and then you like add some weight, but like how much? And like how much should that happen? Do you just do the same thing every time? I was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So learning a little bit about it and the way that sort of progress worked within it, and the way that you can like get stronger, the pace at which you can get stronger, which is both faster than you think, but also like not and you'll be like, oh, I don't need to lift that much weight, which you could argue most people don't. But it's not that much. It's something like you can add 5 pounds every session
sure.
to your lift. So like you would go in, squat, let's say 45 pounds. And then the next time you go, like a few days later, you would squat 50 pounds. And then you just like do that. You can do that for several weeks at a time. And it's really gratifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's really also, I mean, like I said, it's really gratifying when you're just doing an everyday task. And you're mm-hmm. like never am I like, oh my God, here I am on my 40-mile bike ride that SoulCycle prepared me for. I love
right.
I love spinning. I really like it. I like doing Pilates and I like a yoga. I would like to find a little bit more time to do all three of those things. But I think with weightlifting, like it is your progress is so tangible in that we are always lifting groceries. We are always picking up a child. We are always
completely
bending down.
Or like bending down to pick stuff up. And yeah, it's really, or like putting something on a shelf. It's like we do this stuff all day long and we don't realize
mm-hmm.
how like bad it feels or how awkward we feel at it until, I mean, for me at least, until I started lifting, I didn't realize like how hard of a time I was having doing this stuff. And it's like, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it like could feel so much better.
Yeah.
I also find it really interesting. I've started to read more instances of like, there was one really good interview with Aya Cash, the actress who's in
You're the Worst,
The Boys season 2 and You're the Worst. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she did like 8 weeks of strength training before she was in this superhero role. And she says something in the interview that I want to talk to more personal trainers about this, because I'm like, I've never really heard anyone put it this way. But she was like, it makes you feel a different way in your body. It makes you move differently to like do strength training. Like you can tell. And that's why people have actors do it, like not necessarily to put on lots of muscle, but to like get them to sort of move in a different way
yeah.
when they're in a movie, if that makes sense.
I mean,
like, I find that really fascinating that they are aware of that, I guess. Like, I think
yeah.
I would assume they all think it's about aesthetics and not about the way they move.
I mean, yeah. And sometimes, I mean, if it's not wrong to do it for aesthetics, if that's what you want. I mean, like, that's what this whole thing is about, is like everyone feels like, well, you know, I have to X, Y, and Z. But it's the same thing with like yoga and Pilates. Like you do stand tall. Like once you can stretch your body, like I went to physical therapy like a few months ago, and she was doing just like all of these tests where it's like, you know, bend over, like lift up your leg, like do this. And she was like, I have never seen a body this tight before. She and like I feel fine.
There's an achievement,
right? Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm number one. Yay, I win. I win at Bad Body. But she was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, what's your stretching regimen? Like all, like, you know, sometimes you, like a masseuse can like find your tense spots. It's like, oh, okay. Everything's like up in your shoulders. Like everything's in your neck. She was like, your entire body feels like that. And it's like, okay. You know, it's like, all right, fine. And she was like, it's not a big, she's like, look, like, I'm not saying go home and do like 40 hours of yoga. I'm not saying like, you know, it's just, I'm not telling you to do anything. She goes, but
probably the whole point is like, if you want to change that, like do it very slowly. Yes, because you could definitely. Really hurt.
But but more to her point was like, you know, I think you might feel a little bit like you might feel better if, you know, so she gave me a few like morning stretches. And look, here's the thing. I move, but we've all had a year where we're just not living the way that we usually live. Like whether we're working out or not, exercising or not, like there's no way that people came out of 2020 less sedentary than they were in 2019, right? Just like by default.
Yes.
So,
yes, totally.
You know, and as we get older, like I don't have the body of a 19-year-old anymore. Like I'm not a 19-year-old. So like the bounce back, if I sit in the same position for 10 hours, my body kind of like stays that way. And like my muscles respond to that. And she was kind of like, I'm sure you feel fine. I'm sure like, you know, yeah, you can walk, like you're not stiff, but consider the alternative, you know. And she's giving me all these stretches, but it's kind of like the same thing. Like we don't even know how much better we could feel. We don't even know how much easier lifting groceries could be. We don't even know how much easier lifting our child 20 times a day. I don't have one, but I'm assuming some of you out there do, 20 times a day could be. And like, you know, I'm definitely at the age where like when I'm doing the dishes, like I'm like, oh my God, my lower back is on fire. How old am I? Like, this is nuts. And but it's in my mind to be like, well, that's just my life now. And not like, I wonder if there are things I can
so
do to fix it.
There's so many people who they accept this pain as like part of getting older, which is like not what it is. Like, I surely could sit in my desk chair when I was like 16 for, I don't know how many hours, 12 hours, like doing whatever. And I felt nothing from that.
Right.
Maybe it was because I like I did like play sports then, so maybe that was part of it. But now I sit during this pandemic and my hips hurt, like inside of them they hurt.
Yes,
they will. I'll go out to the couch and lie down, they still hurt. I'll go to bed and lie down. Yep. And they're just like actively hurting, like I can't sleep, they hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just like, well, that's old age. But it's not. I can't say, I'm not a doctor and I'm not your doctor, but I'm like, I know this in myself.
33 years old is not
precisely because I'm not going anywhere. Right. Right.
30.
You have so much to do.
And also, we're not going to wake up and have it be any better. Like,
right.
Like, I was going to say, like, on top of, like, yeah, you could sit in your desk at 16, at your desk for, you know, at 16 years old and feel nothing. Like, it's the same way when I was in college and I was going through an eating thing and I ate chips and salsa for 4 weeks and lost somehow 24 pounds. Like, my body won't do that anymore. Like, it's psychotic, the things that we put our teenage bodies through. But there's also this mentality that I want to leave behind that's like, wow, I'm 33, so like this is just the body I'm in. Like I got a long road of life ahead of me, I hope. So if my lower back hurts while I do the dishes, like I need to get it in the mindset that that should set off an alert to like go see if there's something different I could be doing, and not just be like, ugh, I'm old, and then like let myself just like rot until I'm 90.
Oh my God.
There's, we've been talking about this for a long time. I think it's a perfect January episode. And I want to hear everyone else's thoughts on it. But like, if you are interested in lifting and you are interested in just like learning about what that can look like for your body, even if you're not on like any sort of path, even if you just want to know how to like pick up a 40 pound weight or a 50 pound weight and not blow your back out doing it, like Casey can be that person for you. So I really recommend reading Swole Woman and then also like following the Swole Woman Instagram account. I will say, and I hope Casey, this is fair of me, like if you are if you're still going through the recovery of like disordered thinking around food and working out, then, and like I am too, like, tread lightly, like you would anything else, you know?
Yes.
Like this is not nothing. None of this stuff, even though I approve of Casey, like none of this stuff is going to fix any of that internal conflict that like,
right. I mean, I say this all the time in my column, which is not like either a controversial or particularly insightful thing. But I do think that people don't often take these kind of issues seriously enough. They just like think it's a them problem to tackle. And I know I felt that way for a long time, too. Mm-hmm. It was just like I thought about food constantly for like several years. And I was just like, that's the way it is. Like, women be wanting dessert, and it's like, that's not
yeah,
that's not like, this is, it's your body and your brain, and like, you have to eat food every day.
Yeah,
you have to like live in your body every day.
Yeah.
It's worth taking it seriously and like seek out a therapist or a dietitian and like get started on, like, I'm really like, well, we can get into this with my like object, but I'm really huge on like the stuff that you use every day should be good stuff. Like, there's things that you touch every day where, and that's like, that's your body and your brain, and,
yeah,
and you eat every day. It's like, don't let that be such a roadblock in your life. Like, let yourself take care of yourself, kind of. I should probably have a better way of phrasing stuff, given that I write about it, but like,
no, I think that's correct. I mean, like, let yourself take care of yourself in the same way that, like, you know, who was I eating 7 cheeseburgers for before my wedding? Mm-hmm. Like, what was that for? Mm-hmm. Was it because I wanted 7 cheeseburgers? Was it because I was mad? Was it because I was nervous? Like, about fitting into my wedding dress? Was I self-sabotaging? Like, all of that stuff is like therapy stuff for me. And so I would say that, like, if you're like, I hate cardio, or you're like, I like cardio, but I want to get stronger, I think Casey's a great place to go. I want to recommend to you, if you're trying to change your relationship with food and maybe therapy is like out of reach financially or just like physically right now, all of these accounts for parents of young children are honestly like blown my mind.
I'm excited to check these out.
It's so great. It's so great. And it's really helped me. I feed myself like I think a parent would feed their 2-year-old in 2021. You know, like,
that's,
I present dessert with dinner to myself, because
that's great.
You have to unlearn 33 years of being like, you can't have the cookie unless you have the broccoli, like, or you're bad and you're gross and you're unhealthy. And it's a process. It's like a real process. And like, and the other caveat too is that another big thing in the 90s were like, there are 2 eating disorders. One is when you binge eat and you throw up, and one is when you don't eat at all. And the only people who have eating disorders are the bone thin. Like, you can be fat and have an eating disorder. You can be thin and have an eating disorder. Your eating disorder could have nothing to do with either starving yourself or binge eating. Unfortunately, there is a wide spectrum of the ways in which you can be a disordered eater. And none of it is bad or wrong. This was put upon us by society. So I don't know. I'm excited that we are having this conversation in early January, because I think people are, you know, every January comes around and everyone's like, Whole 30, dry January. I have to earn my food. Like, or like, oh my God, is there anything worse than someone posting a picture of cake and being like, #, don't worry, I worked out after. It's like, I don't give a shit what you did after you ate that cake.
God.
Like, enjoy it. So let's have like real talk. I think Casey's a great place to start. If you want to become stronger, I think, like, you know, all of these Instagram accounts are great places to start. If you want to try to give a nice, soft approach to like thinking about food differently. But, you know, I'm right there in the same boat. I'm not afraid of cheeseburgers at all. I think sometimes I do want a salad and end up getting a cheeseburger to, like, you know, spite the man, but
stick
I'm not
it,
really sure
to the man, yeah.
I'm not really sure what I'm doing that for. So we're all on this journey together. I know I want to start lifting more in 2021, just because I want to see how I want I want to relive that feeling I had when I picked up my suitcase and did not feel pain.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Chase that feeling. That's what I'm all about, is like, don't work. I mean, this was what we can like move on from this after I say this, but like, this is another thing that sort of stuck with me about lifting, or that like made me latch onto it, was like, there's not this sort of like calories burned, calories yeah. like intake, like the way that there is with cardio, where it's like you feel like that's like really safe math that you can, if you just
like
sort of
in and
out,
in and out.
Yes. And lifting doesn't quite work the same way. There's not like, I think if you've ever read about calories burned, you're like, you've read that like it burns fewer calories, but that's not true, but also just like not how bodies work. So I really liked that aspect.
Yeah.
Also.
For me, the healthiest thing I can do for myself is, I think, divorce all sort of numerical association with like doing anything. Even with mm-hmm. the SoulCycle bike, like I don't check my beat map, which is like, did you keep up with the instructor? Like, did you stay on the beat? Sometimes I just don't even cycle to the beat. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm here, I love the music. And then yeah. it's like, I'm just trying to get to a point where I'm like, I'm doing this workout because it's what I want to be doing right now, and it's fun, like no punishment. And I know everyone says that, right. but it is the hardest thing in the world to put on your sneakers and your leggings and your sports bra and not feel like you are yes. making up for bad behavior.
I like working out more than anyone I know, and I still struggle with mm-hmm. that. So
yeah, I mean, it's hard. And I dislike working out more than everyone I know. And I still sometimes enjoy it. I think that there's like, you uh-huh. know what I mean? There's things that are there. Like,
right.
so.
Right. But all of these things can be true. You don't have to feel one way.
Exactly.
About anything.
Exactly. Well, I think this is a longer conversation than we usually have about things that are not shopping related, but I felt like it was important. I know that you were a little, I don't know, nervous or anxious about the item that you brought. I still don't know what it is. Casey told me that she told her partner, her boyfriend, right before we started recording what she brought, and he had more suggestions. So
yeah, and he was like, a few thoughts, and I was like,
you're like,
don't.
I didn't know. No, we didn't. When will they ever learn?
Now
like, we're not asking.
Head.
It's like when you leave the house as a teen and you're like, do I look good? Like the oh my god. Okay, last thing about being a teenager and parents and whatever. Do you remember, you saw Lady Bird, right?
Yes.
The most relatable scene was when she tries on the dress that she loves and she's so excited and she's like, Mom, do you want to see the dress? And she's in the dressing room. She tries on the dress and she comes out and her mom's like, you don't think that's like a little too pink? And she's like, oh my God, why can't you just say that you like it? And her mom goes,
this more or less exact thing happened to me. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure it's happened
all the
to, like,
time. But her mom
girls,
goes,
like,
what, do you want me to lie? You're like, yes.
Oh my God.
I still
yes,
get into that
sort
with
of.
My mother, and I'm in my 30s. Oh. So, so we don't ask men for their opinions. That's a lesson you've learned today.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So tell me what you brought to G Thanks Just Bought It.
Okay. So my thing that I brought is, this is extremely on the, now I'm like embarrassed about it. It's extremely on the nose for this time of year, but we're being on the nose anyway. It's this Muji planner that I've been using for
the plant
like 6 years.
You would bring a planner yeah. to the 2021 episode. New notebook, new you.
I mean, you're like one of the only people in my life who I want to know. I mean, you've been down on yourself about this last year, about like quote unquote how much you got done, but I asked Caroline like a few times a year, like, how do you do so much? How do you get so much done? I think an apt conversation for us to potentially have. Mm-hmm. But like, I've just been using this planner for so long. It's like almost like academic school style. I mean, like, I used to use them when I was in high school. And I think for a few years,
you used Emoji Planner in high school.
Fell off. No, it was, but it was like a similar style. Okay. Like it had the like, you know, seven days on one page spread kind of a thing.
Yes.
And then I think I felt like my life was sort of not total chaos, but I was like, I think I missed this sort of 7-day weekly spread, like, organization to my life. And I've tried like a zillion, like, and I'm a technology person, like I've tried a zillion apps and like sorting your emails a certain way and all this stuff, trying to keep track of stuff that I do, and just nothing works like having a planner. And it's not like I'm perfect at it.
What would, like, wait a minute, what would being perfect at a planner look like to you?
I think, well, it's like sometimes I look back on my old, like, I wish they're around here somewhere. Like, I have my high school planners, but they're like,
you keep your,
they're just like full.
I love
full
that.
Full of stuff. Like, they're, I wrote so much down and like checked it off.
Mm.
And I think, like, I don't think I would have said then that I was perfect at it either, but it's like, I have my other one from last year where it's like the last few months are just blank. I mean, it's like, I was totally not even thinking about this, and it's like, maybe that should be fine, but I don't know. I'm like a huge stationery nerd, and like I get really into,
you love pens,
like, oh, I love pens. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, I find it very soothing to like watch the bullet journal, like people just doing their bullet journals. I have no real interest in bullet journaling, but it's like, it's just a safe world where absolutely nothing happens. They don't even have anything to plan, most of these people. They're like, you know, their task list is like,
I love it,
plan bullet journal planning video. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, buy new gel pens and use them.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, so you have a planner. So you really prefer the physical, in your hand approach to planning. Do you also keep your Google Calendar so you can know like when meetings, like, what do you put all the same stuff that's in your, this is my question to everyone, like I always start off the year with like a really like intense planning system for February, for January, and then half of February, and then by April I'm like, I hope I remember that I have a dentist appointment. Do you do you mirror your Google Calendar with your planner? Just different things go in different places. Like, tell me your, I need, like, I think what I struggle with is that I do not have a system in which utilizing a planner actually is a productive thing for me, but I would like to devise a system. And it has to be somewhere way below where the bullet journal people are, because I can't like draw out, you know, my goals.
No, I just need, I mean, it's so time consuming.
Right.
I think of my calendar is for like appointments, and the planner is more so for like basically to-do lists, like for the day or the week.
Okay.
I will, if I'm like on my game, I will kind of at the beginning of the week or the beginning of a day, like write the things that the sort of schedule that I have from my calendar into the planner, just so I can have one place to look. But generally I keep it separate, and the planner is just for like, what do I have to do? And kind of roughly what day do I want to do it?
Okay.
I know some people like dig even deeper and they like block out time. Like they have their to-do list and then they like block out time on their calendar for their to-do list. And I'm like,
no, that's too, no, I can't do that.
Like too much. I try to keep it pretty high level. Like I think there's planning systems out there where people are kind of like, have your like one main task for the day and then like two other tasks that are kind of like maybes, or there's like this, the Franklin Covey system of like urgent and important, but not urgent,
right?
Not urgent but important, and like
what do I need, like the one thing that has to get done today versus like don't start these things until these things are done. That's kind of
right.
I want to spend more time doing the things I have to do and not more time like doing my planner. That just feels like a gateway drug for me to actually just not do things.
I don't like go into each year being like, I'm going to spend more time with my planner, because I think I have a pretty good like equilibrium with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think like more and more granular is like necessary. I think you have to find the right level for you, and you can like see people who do really like have these super intensive systems, but I've just found them really like, I think there's a Stephen Covey, the getting things done thing was like, okay, here's what you do. You like assign everything like a number 1 through 4.
Yeah, that's
like
too...
what the importance is. And I'm like, all right, you're going too far. That's like, if you're thinking about that in anything more than like an abstract way and you're like writing it down.
Yeah.
Like if thinking of the task, you don't kind of know. Right. I mean, maybe some people need that. I don't know. Sure. But I'm like, I don't need to like do that. There's definitely a level that's going too far.
So tell me. Okay. Today, it's Monday morning today, right? It's Monday morning today as we're recording this. Yeah. You know, what's your relationship with your planner on Monday morning?
I will. So like, I have more relationship on Sunday night.
Okay.
Where like, I wrote at least the sort of like appointments that I had for the week in there. And that was ambitious for me, honestly. But I'm trying to, as we're sort of going through this first day, and like today's hectic because like Slack was down, and then like, you know, work's just insane.
Sure.
But my ambition is to sort of like get together all the stuff that I need to do and just like write it. Like you kind of just need to dump it somewhere at some point. I think this planner is like good for that. Just like get it all.
Do you like doing it on Sunday nights though? Is that like a thing that you've like that you have found to be productive for you?
I think it's a good, it helps for me with like Sunday scaries kind of vibes. And I'm a big like, I will have really circular thought patterns. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just like be like, I gotta, not even something really important. I'll just be like, this is a bad example, but like, I gotta do laundry tomorrow. Or like, I gotta wash this one piece of clothing because I'm gonna need it tomorrow or like on Tuesday.
So
like,
it's
whatever.
Super granular.
And then I'll just be like there kind of thinking. Well, it's not. It's just that I will get, it's like I don't write all of these kinds of things down.
Right.
But when I do get something stuck in my head, it helps to like, it gets it out to just like write it down.
Mm-hmm. My issue is the opposite in that like I will literally do anything before I have to do, like yesterday Sunday, because I had like this kind of new year new me sort of like vibes about this morning because I got up and put jeans on. Mm-hmm. So it was like a whole thing. So I like clean, like Dan and I cleaned the house and I did all of the dishes and I did all of the laundry. Like I changed out our sheets and I cleaned my office because I was like, I'm waking up on Monday and I'm like a new person. This is just like my sickness, my cross to bear. But I don't ever have to write that stuff in a planner because those are the things that I do while I'm avoiding the big things. So it's like for me, it's like, okay, now I have. So for me right now, like on my list of things that I have to do this week, it's like get my finances together to send to my accountant for like tax season. And it's like,
right. I think it's more stuff like that. Like I don't really write down like clean the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I will. But like, It's more stuff. It's more of the like sort of not urgent but important stuff where I'm like, I need to kind of structure this or I'm never going to kind of move it forward, you know?
Do you think that you did you try, because you worked through the pandemic? I mean, you had your job through 2020. Yeah. It's not like you, like I truly didn't have much of a schedule in 2020, and that was difficult for me. But
this
you
was
still
a bad year for the planner.
But
I would say,
but was overall. It? Because you still had stuff. I mean, like, how did you use your planner?
Well, I was actually proud of some, like I was working on a book proposal, as you know, for a while, and I like used the planner, and I did like this, like I can show you this whole like kind of series of checklists.
Wow.
And like I was like, wait, I'm right, like I'm gonna like make little
again.
Boxes for like 1,000 words each that I'm writing.
Wow.
And it like worked really well.
So you, I mean, yeah, I guess you're, I'm really trying, I just like don't want to. It's again, the I approach everything with such a insane expectation, I think, of myself and of the thing. I can't just like have a planner. I have to like devise.
Well, you probably, you just like, I mean, I would accept that you just don't, I'm not coming, I'm definitely not coming here telling you to buy a planner.
I bought a planner,
though. You did get a planner. And you also did tell me once you had like a calendar. Like I feel like the first time I asked you, like, how do you get so much done? You were like, I have a calendar and I just have like post-it notes and I like write down what I'm doing and I put the post-it note on the calendar.
I also have severe ADD and like true. Like, yeah, I mean, I have my system. You know what the thing is, and you manage a lot of people now. When I really I also am very good with time and dates, and my memory is impeccable. So like I will, if my dentist called today and said like, hey, you have an appointment on like February 18th, 2 o'clock, I won't have to write that down. Like, I will remember. And it's why
I absolutely will not.
Well, I envy that, because it's why like I will get to a date and start panicking and being like, oh my God, why does May 21st, like there's something I have to, and what I'm remembering is something big that I did like 7 years ago. Like the date just like stays in my head. But where was I going with this? But planning for me, like, it's great that I can remember dates and that I can keep a calendar, but I think a lot of times where the ADD comes out is that like I have a really hard time sitting, focusing, and getting one thing done, and instead I get about 70% of 12 things done, and then it is a wrestle to get the 30% of the other things of those 12 things done, and nothing really ever gets done. I have a lot of my you know, I'm halfway into the pool of a lot of different things. So I felt like maybe this year was the year where I really tried to like stick to a goal-based planning system where I'm like, instead of trying to do four things at once, just do one thing, and then when it's done, we move on to thing number two.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think I've alarmed you with the planner aspect. It's funny to me that I did truly pick a bad item. Seamus is going to find this extremely
funny.
No, you
picked a great item. But talking about planners at the beginning of the year,
you're like,
amazing.
Planners, not for me.
But the point is not for you to come and sell me on something. It's to be true, like, here's true. How I use this thing. And like, who doesn't buy it? I'm going to hold up what I bought 2 weeks ago in anticipation of this year. It's literally called the productivity planner. I actually am finding it really helpful. No, but planners are a thing. Like, everyone buys a planner at the beginning of January. And I guarantee everyone who listens to this podcast is just like us, and we buy planners. But I think that the issue that I have with planners, and that the issue you don't seem to have with planners, is that come February 2nd, that planner is a ghost town. And I just go back to like writing things on a piece of paper or on like an old envelope next to my desk and just like hope for the best, because I don't really have a system in place. And I think it's really interesting that you not only have been doing this since high school, but like this is something you've carried into adulthood. Like we were all given those like assignment, those like school branded assignment pads in high school.
That's pretty much what it is.
Right. Yes. But that never really stuck for me. Like, because I would get caught on the minutia where it's like, oh my God, but my handwriting looks really bad when I wrote this homework assignment, so I'm going to erase it and like rewrite it in my nice handwriting. Because that's called ADD. But like, I think a planner is a great thing, not just because the planner is going to change your life, but the idea of like there is a way that you can plan that works for your brain that will actually help you get things done.
I mean, it's kind of like in the same way that I approach lifting weights is like, you don't have to be good at this to like do it. It's I take a similar, I'm not like an intensive planner user. I just find it really helpful, and like not even helpful every single day of every week of every year, but just like periodically I'll be like, I have too much stuff in my, I'm trying to keep track of too many things, and or I'm losing track of stuff, and then I'll kind of like go back to the planner. And it's I just like find it comforting.
That is what I really do hope to kind of glom on to this productivity planner that I bought too, because a lot, it's not a calendar. I don't have a problem with the calendar, and I use my Google Calendar to tell me like when my appointments are. But what I needed was a thing that was like, and this actually really offers that, and I can show it to you and I'll link to it or whatever. But it's like, okay, for the week, it's like, here are the five things I have to do this week. And then it's like, okay, here are five things that I have to do, but I will not do them until the other five things are done.
Oh, I like that.
And then here are the five things that I can do after those five things are done. And then, so there are five tasks that I have to do this week. And then every day has its own page. And it's like, pick one of those things. And then you have to get that done. And like, don't worry about the other
things.
Nice. Because there are other days. And you will get those done on those days. Because
right.
Like, I would rather get 100% of two things done than 70% of seven things.
This makes sense. I mean, I feel like this puts you at a level above where, like, I really identify with the idea of like, I'm writing something down so I can stop thinking about it at the same time as like 10 other things.
Yep.
And just focus on the one thing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I will try and think about all of the things at once.
All the things at once. And then also just kind of without writing it down and also sort of prioritizing and then managing those priorities, you do get, even if it's not the truth, you do kind of get caught in this idea that like all these 10 things hold the exact same weight and all have mm-hmm. to be done at the exact same time. And I think when mm-hmm. you get pushed to actually take a little bit of the control back, like even if you still have to do all of those things, but you can be like, all right, out of these three things, which thing has to get done before noon? Okay, that's mm-hmm. the thing I'm gonna do. I also bought the Pomodoro, like, you know, the tomato timer, because I think that you've heard of this, right? It's like it's like 25 minutes
yeah. I don't like that. Do you do that?
Well, I'm starting tomorrow.
I've had it help for stuff that I like truly hated and like really didn't want to do.
I think it will help me because, again, with the ADD, sometimes I get laser focused on something that I will put my head down for 7 hours and like have something done that maybe didn't really need to get done. And now I have like eight other things. I think time management, especially because I am my own boss. You know, I've been freelancing for a while. No one is checking up on me. I don't have a schedule. I don't have anywhere to go. No one has anywhere to go. But like, I think keeping myself to like a timed thing, like I was thinking about this yesterday, like we used to go to high school from like 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. In adult life, I don't do anything between 7:30 and 2. Like, I'm lucky if I've like managed to find my way to the kitchen and eat something for breakfast, and maybe I shower and like maybe I answer one email.
But you're not like a late night worker though.
No, I'm not. I get all my work done in mostly before 3 p.m. But I think what I mean is, like, you know, we got so much done in high school between 7 and 2:30 because that was the schedule that was set for us. Like 42 minutes in AP Psych, and then you have 3 minutes to walk to science, and you got 42 minutes there, and now you're going to lunch. And it's like, I think what would help me is if I split up my day to be like, these are the 45 minutes you do emails, and then we move on to something else, and not like for 8 hours a day, I'm answering emails and forgetting all these other things I have to do. So I like the idea of like the planner as a way, like, to plan. Like, I don't think a planner as an object is life changing, but I think if you can, like, if you found a way to plan that works for you, I think that's life changing.
Right. I mean, it's not about like this specific planner or format or whatever. It's just that, like, even as a functional object, like as a to-do list, it's kind of like, that's less the point than it just makes me sit down and think about like, okay, what do I want to do? In what order? What am I ultimately trying to do with the individual things I'm doing right now? And just like making you think about it is the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not, I think some people have better reflexes for that. And I don't have ADD, or I've never been diagnosed with ADD, but I do feel like I have like low executive functioning skills where I'll do the things that are easy or feel like sort of the nearest, or like can be distracted almost as a way of self-sabotage.
Of course.
Too, rather than being like, okay, I want to do this, so I'm going to like break it down into the little tasks and then like do one each of the little tasks every day or whatever until it's done. That's like the hardest thing in the world for
me. I'm so good at getting big picture stuff done, but like I think one of the most viral tweets I had during 2020. I keep saying during the pandemic, like we're not still in a pandemic, but when I say the pandemic, I just mean the year 2020. Uh-huh. Was like, right. I did an administrative task like that I had been putting off for like 4 months, and it took me like 7 minutes, and it was annoying, yes. but it took me 7 minutes, and I just like,
I also did a tweet about this.
Yeah.
I think
probably
many of us are tweeting yeah. about this all the time.
It's just like, it's so, I will find anything to do other than the stuff that I have to do that I don't want to do. And I'm hoping that that's where the timer will help me, where it's like 25 minutes, fill out this goddamn form, Caroline. Casey.
I really think yeah, are we done?
No, go. No, keep going. But then.
Oh, I was just going to say, I found the timer helpful for just like making me do it. I would always end up like doing the thing for longer or shorter. Because if I just like the idea of like, I'll only do it for 25 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be done. It gets me started and then I'm like completely fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like anything else. Like the most painful part of working out for me is the like getting up and like wriggling on my bike shorts, and then I'm like having a fun time,
right?
Sometimes, right. Anyway, you should host mm-hmm. your own podcast. I would listen to you.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, that's so nice.
I would listen to a Swole Woman podcast. Are you kidding? Which cat? Oh my god, I have to take a picture of the cat on your shoulder before we say goodbye.
Can you?
Which cat is this?
This is Gert.
That is so cute. Kevin and
Hurry
Steve
up.
Would never
sense you're taking a picture.
Well, they would do it to Dan, not to me. They don't like me because I pick. Dan goes, "You're too aggressive with them," because I pick them up and I go, "Who's got the cutest little face?" And then they get mad at me. I don't.
You
speak
and Seamus
cat.
Are the same,
huh?
You and Seamus are the same.
I just got a lot of love to give. Hopefully, the yes. dog will react better to my love languages. I'm so happy that you are kicking off the year with us, and thank you so much for coming. I will link to everything that we talked about, all of those Instagram accounts, Casey's column, the Swole Woman Instagram, the Muji planner, and also the productivity planner that I bought. Yeah, it'll all be in the show notes. As always, if you don't follow Swole Woman, you really, really should. Is your personal Instagram also open, public?
Yeah, it's open. It's public.
I'll put that there too.
Check it out.
You can
before
see.
You follow it.
You can see Fletch and Gert the cats.
Yeah.
Case, I'm pumped. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yay! All right, guys, another episode next Friday, and until then, catch you on Instagram. G Thanks Just Bought It Pod, or in the G Thanks Facebook group. All right, see ya.